One of the great early Christian writers was St. Chrysostom, who died in the year 407. And when he was reflecting on today's gospel, he made the following observation. To live a life of virtue disposes someone to the truth. Since God is both good and he is the true, doing good and knowing the truth are intimately related. Doing good and knowing the truth are intimately related. He then concludes, knowing the truth leads us to act well, and acting well helps us to know the truth. Isn't that lovely? Acting well helps us to know the truth. To know the truth inspires us to act well. Whenever we get to this part of John's gospel, I must say that I find it such challenging and sometimes obscure stuff because it's just so dense. There's so much going on. And to try to dig through it is kind of like being an archaeologist and getting down to the various levels and layers. But I think at the very heart of today's gospel is the understanding that here is the one who is the embodiment of truth. He is the fullness of goodness, and he's in Jerusalem for the Festival of Booths. What was that? It's also called Tabernacles. It was a festival of joy that was held in the fall of every year, where people would actually put up temporary booths and they would live in them for 8 days, whereby they were reenacting what it was to be in the desert as the people journeyed from Egypt into the Promised Land. And so the whole emphasis of the Festival of Booths, of Tabernacles, was God wanting people to come into the fullness of their inheritance. And much of Jesus' teaching takes place during this festival, from John chapter 7 all the way to chapter 10. And here is the one who's saying to the people, I want you to be able to appropriate the fullness of the life that God has for you. But here's the thing that people say, no, sorry, we know where you're from. You're from Nazareth. There is no way that you are the Messiah. Now, for us, we think that's kind of weird. I mean, the Old Testament speaks about how the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. In a sense, we do know where he's from. But at the time of Jesus in the first century, there was a very common idea, and it was this, that when the Messiah comes, we won't know where he's from. He's just going to come out of nowhere. And that's what the majority of the people were expecting. They had in their mind what God should do. And so when Jesus comes, and he's inviting them into this fullness of truth and into a life of goodness, they can't respond. And listen to the question that Jesus asks them. Or it's actually put as a statement here, but it could be asked as a question, and I'll show you what I mean. So in response to the people who are saying, you're not the Messiah, Jesus says, you know me and you know where I'm from. I have not come on my own. But the one who sent me is true, and you do not know him. I know him, because I am from him, and he has sent me. So another way this could be phrased would be like this. You think you know where I am from, that where I have come from, but you really don't. This is the perennial issue, isn't it? How hard it is for us as human beings to truly trust in Jesus, to be able to take the Lord at his word, and to be the kind of people who are saying, Lord, what I desire above all else is to see more fully the trueness of who you are and to live my life in relation to you so that I can fully live. Now, this tension between seeing God for who he truly is and our tendency towards a kind of questioning finds a particular expression in the Old Testament reading. But here it's sort of told from the perspective of the person who has nothing and desires to do nothing with God and looks to the godly man or the godly woman and is threatened by them. Why? Because they're threatened by the goodness of their lives and by how they are trying to live truthfully. And so in that reading, there is the machinations of those who are going to try to upend the godly person. And of course, we could see it's actually an anticipation of what, in a way, is ironic, that the most religious people, that is, the Jewish authorities, would collude with the Romans in order to try to destroy Jesus. So we can hear that first reading as an anticipation of the passion of our Lord himself. The Book of Wisdom then comments on the folly of the wicked by showing that the godly man, the godly woman who lives in the truth will in the end be commended by God and rewarded. Listen to this verse again. For their wickedness blinded them, and they did not know the secret purposes of God. Now listen to this. Nor hoped for the wages of holiness, nor discerned the prize of blameless souls. Isn't that beautiful? The wages of holiness, the prize of blameless souls. Well, starting with myself, I'm not there yet. I am no blameless soul, believe me. But this understanding that the Lord lays out to us these wages of holiness, and what is the prize of a blameless soul? It's the fulfillment of all desire. It's to see Jesus. It's to know him. It's to be with him. But you might be pondering this idea. For their wickedness blinded them, and they did not know the secret purposes of God. What does that mean? I think it means this, that apart from a heart that is open to him, God will always remain hidden to us. That's why Jesus, during the Feast of Tabernacles, remained hidden to the people right there in Jerusalem. They did not see him. But when, in his grace and in his love, we turn to him more fully and say, yes, you are the one who has come from the Father. You are full of grace. You are full of truth. Then we want to discover what it is to cooperate with that grace, affirming what it means to belong to Jesus. Let me end with a very brief story. A woman has come to see me a couple of times in this last month who, for any number of reasons, had been so far away from the Lord. And it's just beautiful to hear her story as she's coming to Jesus and she's seeing his love and his truth. It's allowing her to look at her life in a way that she can be honest with things that she has to deal with. What's happening here? Well, a woman who is discovering the one who is true is desiring to grow in living a life that is good. And by living a life that is good, she is growing in knowing the one who is true. This, my beloved brothers and sisters, is what it means to be the church, to be that community where in discovering ourselves, we discover Jesus, and in discovering Jesus, we discover ourselves. May we be inspired by the wages of holiness and always keep before us the prize of blameless souls. And that prize is none other than Jesus. Thank you.